Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise, podcast number 92 on October 26th, 2014. Wow, we are getting close to 100, aren't we? I'm going to have to figure out something special to do for that 100th podcast. That should be fun. So, hey, everybody, I've got a lot of territory to cover today, so I'm going to jump right in. Here's my first letter. Ms. Ryder, often in your podcasts and blogs, you talk about the importance of being a good kisser. For example, the story of Mr. Great Kisser. What are the characteristics of a good kiss? What do you look for in a kiss? Can someone be trained to be a good kisser? If so, how? Have there been great kissers in your life who have turned out to be duds otherwise? If you want to know if, fill in the blank, it's in his kiss. Thanks for the time and consideration. Keep up the great and important work. Ooh, talking about one of my favorite things, kissing. What are the characteristics of a good kiss? Well, first of all, I have to say that all I can do is answer from my perspective, and we're all different. So this, for me, is what makes good kiss. And interestingly enough, I was just talking about this with someone, and I asked him what he thought made a good kiss. And we thought the same way. It's a dance. And what I mean by that is your lips are coming together. Your tongues are coming together. Your mouths are coming together. And it's a dance. There's a certain amount of give and take. And that dance should be something that goes in both directions. Something that you are connected to the person and you're reacting to some of the things that they're doing. You're responding. And the energy is going back and forth. What I don't like is when a man kisses me and thinks that it's a performance, that he needs to put his tongue in my mouth and wiggle it about wildly, that somehow that's going to feel good for me. And, you know, like I say, this is just me. There may be women out there that love that kind of kissing, but I can't stand it. So for me, it's got to be more of a dance. And the way that dance goes back and forth and the energy of it, you know, continues back and forth, and there's a playfulness, and I don't even know what else to say except back and forth. There's a back and forthness to it. That is what makes a kiss a good kiss for me. So for your second question, what do you look for? That's pretty much what I look for. Can someone be trained to be a good kisser? Okay, you know, I've tried a few times to do this, but I would have to confess that I didn't really put much time in it. In other words, I would tell the man that this is how I really enjoy kissing. I would describe it. I would show him. Most of the time, he was able to slip right into that style of kissing in that moment and do a decent job at it. But the men that I date, if they're anywhere close to my age, have had decades of experience in kissing in a certain manner, and to expect them to all of a sudden change it up is a little unrealistic, I think. I lose patience pretty quickly with someone who doesn't kiss well. So I think that for me, trying to train someone is unrealistic. I do remember a long time ago trying to train someone a bit, and it just has never been successful for me. Perhaps it's because I didn't stick with it long enough. I would like to think that if you were very intentionally trying to help someone change their kissing style, first of all, there would have to be an intentionality on their part. They would have to be quite willing to change their kissing style because they knew that's what you wanted and they wanted to do what you wanted. That given enough time, that it's a possibility. But I have found that the men who do not kiss the way that I like, what follows usually is that the touching isn't really what I like either. That dance, that perfect back and forth dance, seems to come with some very, very nice sensual touching. So your last, not your last one, but the fill in the blank thing you wanted. If you want to know blank, if you want to know if, fill in the blank, it's in his kiss. I think how I'd have to fill that in would be, again, just for me, if you want to know, if I want to know if a man is sexually compatible with me and I'm going to like the way he touches, it's in his kiss. Really, it's totally in the kiss. Or as I like to say, the kiss is the tell. Let's see, have there been great kisses in your life who have turned out to be duds otherwise? Oh, certainly. There have been guys who kissed extraordinarily and even have been pretty good in bed, but I'm not with them anymore. So some other area of their life, they were duds. And, you know, it doesn't really pay to go back over all of them and enumerate in the ways in which they didn't measure up. But just because a man is very good at touching and kissing and sex doesn't mean he's got his life together or he would make a good life partner. He might make a good friend with benefits. But, you know, that the kiss is the tell for sexual compatibility and touch compatibility. It doesn't really tell me anything about how the guy handles his life and things like that. So, yeah, there you go. Thanks for the question. I do recall elaborating on kissing and sort of hypothesizing amongst the different styles of kissing and how they may indeed reflect different styles of personality. And that was a kind of a for fun thing. But the most important part of kissing, of course, is that it's someone that matches with you. It's what you like. And that's what I like, is the dance. Absolutely. The dance is the most important part. Okay, moving right along here. This next letter was a comment in response to an article that has been more widely read than almost everything I have on my website. And you'll see why, it's for obvious reasons. The article is called Convincing Him to Try It. So a huge number of guys come to my website and read that because there are a lot of guys out there who really would like to find a way to talk to their significant other and get her to try pegging with them. So this is in response to that article. I'm going to put a link to that article in my Linkorama. I mean, it's right there on the podcast anyway, or excuse me, on the website. But I'll give you a link just to make it easy for you. And here is what this guy has to say. You make some good points in this article, which don't apply just to the club of pegging, starved, salivating man dogs that some of us belong to. Can you see why I chose to read this? It gets better. For those of us fortunate enough to live in countries where sexual services are readily available for payment, the question of where can I find a woman to peg me is a non-issue. The answer here is that you can find a woman just about everywhere to peg you. If one's moral compass does not permit this, I can't help but shake my head at the supposed morality of subtly manipulating a woman selected as the target with charm, wit, humor, and whatever else it takes, including time, to get her to don the strap-on. Why is it so hard to find a woman who likes pegging? You make some good points here, and might I add, just because she might have sex with you does not mean that she will peg you. In for a penny, in for a pound? I think not. You even say that in a later section. Pegging is not bowling. This is right out of my article. This is hysterical. Pegging is not bowling. True, but both are social activities that involve assholes. And in my opinion, bowling involves a lot more fucking about. I hate bowling, by the way. I don't agree with the elevated pedestal that the act of sex has been placed on, but I accept that there are people out there who see it the same way. How to approach a woman? I couldn't help but think of the similarities between what you wrote in the first paragraph and Andrew Dice Clay's Three Beautiful Dates routine. Of course, he was being sleazy and demeaningly manipulative for comic effect, whereas you're quite serious. I loved what you said in the second paragraph, though, and figure that what's good for the gander is good for the goose, too. I explain further in the next section. Women want to be treated like people. Abso-fucking-lutely. I totally get this, especially every time I've been asked by a woman to fix her computer, for free, of course, after she finds out that's what I do to earn a living. Does she see the man behind the data recovery utilities disk? No. Does she try to get to know me first? No. Does she ask me about what I might want? No. However, unlike what you said about dropping someone like a hot potato in such a situation, I try to educate by taking on the request for assistance and making the situation with the computer even worse than it was. I'd like to think I'm succeeding in my attempts to educate, because I've never been asked for such assistance a second time. But it's impossible to be sure. It's fun for me to give someone a humanity lesson, though. The double standard is very much alive and well. With both sexes, both should deal with it, but won't. Not as long as the act of sex, and in my case the act of computer repair, is given special consideration. No whiners. I think you've done a very good job with the article, and I think that everyone who reads it and is searching for a pegging partner will undergo a transformation of sorts. Hopefully, there will be a not insignificant number of men who will realize that life is too short and that attitudes need to change. The fact that it's much easier to change their own attitude rather than trying to get others to change theirs will hopefully allow them to experience pegging success sooner. I appreciate the opportunity you've afforded your readers to make comment, and also appreciate the time and effort you put into writing your articles on this wonderful subject. Keep up the good work. So he was obviously responding to the different sections of that article, and it was just such a fun read that I had to share it with you guys, especially the part about bowling and involving a lot more fucking about. What I said was, you know, pegging is not like bowling. It's not like, hey, you like bowling, I like bowling, let's bowl. Yeah, pegging is not like that. So that's what he was referring to. So I hope you enjoyed that. I really enjoyed getting the comment from you, sir. And yes, indeed, the ability to purchase sexual services is something that unfortunately we are not afforded in very many places in this country, or certainly not legally in very many places. So it would be, I think, more of a non-issue if that were the case. It really would. There would be a whole lot less men out there thinking that it's a horrible thing to do and complaining about the paying and being unwilling to pay. I think, anyway, who knows? Okay, I'm going to read to you next an article that I wrote and posted in a bunch of places, and I'm going to read it aloud on this podcast because I think you'll enjoy it. It's called Fucking Amazing. What does it feel like as a woman to hit your stride in the act of pegging? That's what this is about. This is my own personal experience and not fictional. Okay. And once again, you can find this on my website. I've been fucking guys in the ass for some time now. With my notoriety as Ruby Ryder, I think many people believe I get to fuck guys all the time, and that I must have a ton of experience. Measurements of that kind are so subjective, though. What might be a ton to some would barely register with others. My own measure of it is that I have fucked far, far fewer than I could have, because I am particular. I have met astonishingly handsome men who were never invited into my bed for a variety of reasons. I have met sweet, thoughtful, intelligent men who never made it to my bed either, lest you think it's all about how beautiful their asses were. For me, the combination has to be just right. And, of course, the chemistry has to be there, or it's pointless. I tell you this to point out that in actuality, I have not had that much experience pegging the sweet asses of multiple men or even just one man, probably less than many of you assume. Besides being particular, I have been single most of the last 3.5 years. So leaving the assumptions about fucking asses aside for a moment, let me tell you what's been happening in my life recently. I've been working out regularly. I found the magic formula that gets me to the gym. A handsome young man, a friend, texts me every day and asks, "Did you work out yesterday?" Doesn't hurt that he's in the military, too. I don't mind telling him no one day, but if I have to tell him no 2 days in a row, it rankles. So I have made it to the gym far more often in the last month than I have for quite some time. I have been cranking those weights up higher and enjoying the burn. I have conquered the land of the elliptical and now enjoy the heretofore elusive second winds. I feel good. So, after all that preface, I had an extraordinary experience the other night. I hit my stride fucking an ass. That's the only way I can describe it. I had all the strength I needed. I felt agile, Keeping my balance was easy. My core strength had such power and endurance that I was sort of throwing him around the bed like guys have thrown me around before. I had him in missionary position at one point, holding his legs up, and I impulsively put both ankles in one hand on one side of me and continued fucking him sideways. I actually did it because I was remembering positions guys have put me in. And with my newfound strength and agility, I felt like a kid in a candy store. I wanted to try it all. Let me at this point gratefully acknowledge the lovely ass I had the pleasure of fucking, because as usual, I walked the line between preserving anonymity and fleshing out my story. But I do not want to talk about him like a thing. He's so very much more than that. I'm going to call him Gorgeous Guy, because he is. He and I started talking a couple of years ago on FetLife and kept missing each other. Finally, we had a couple of dates earlier this year. Excellent chemistry. So I invited him to join me last March at the Bill Conference in a lovely hotel room with a king-size bed. And he stood me up. He had his reasons, of course, but I don't take kindly to being stood up without a word. So I answered his messages politely after that, but blew off his advances. 6 months later, he finally convinced me to have dinner with him again. After all, gorgeous man is gorgeous. But more importantly, he's charming, intelligent, and sweet. We had dinner. Then he convinced me that what happened was an anomaly. He's usually very dependable, and he'd like another chance, please. He had a lot of things going on in his life at that time. We kissed. What little defenses I had left, forgotten with the sheer compatibility of that kiss. Wow. Added to all his other lovely qualities, well, yeah, I was done. So we played, and it was Gorgeous Guy's ass that I hit my stride whilst fucking. Couldn't have wished for a nicer one. I felt like that silicone cock was a part of me, I swear. I could tell the exact moment when his ass opened up and finally allowed the toy he'd selected from my collection to talk its sizable way inside him. I held steady, waiting for him to adjust to it. The muscles in my thighs and my arms worked hard to hold the position. I watched his open-mouthed, closed-eyes expression. The softening, the letting go, always a beautiful sight. Later, I lay on top of him, deep inside, with my breasts against his back and only sweat between us. My hips moved with such ease. I put subtle moves on that cock, man. I made him moan and swoon. I was right there. I owned that strap-on and that ass. We played for a long time and slept soundly that night, but before we slept, I talked with him about how hitting my stride had felt. The best analogy I could come up with was the difference between the first time a guy fucks a girl and then years down the line after he really starts to get good at it. So, I feel like I finally have the amazing pegging skills that many of you have attributed to me long before now. Don't get me wrong, I haven't had any complaints. The night with Gorgeous Guy was different, though. I have to say, from this side of the strap-on, it was fucking amazing. No, actually, it was amazing fucking. So I hope you enjoyed that. I enjoyed the experience, and I also enjoyed writing all about it. It was a very inspiring evening and a very inspiring experience. So I got this comment when I posted it that I'd like to read to you. Indeed, as you've mentioned before, it takes some strength, some balance, some endurance to use a cock well, strap-on or natural. Precisely because of the thrusting, the pulling, the pushing, and all the delicious other movements that are so satisfying. And please, let us not forget the oh-so-lovely squirm against the lucky man's ass. So the extra wind, the extra core and leg strength, they can truly make a positive difference. How many men have written to you, Ruby, to say it's so important to them that their ladies enjoy themselves when they strap on their dildos and become the one who penetrates? You have certainly provided stellar advice about one means for adventurous ladies to ramp up that enjoyment. Your lucky partner, no doubt, will agree. And all the other benefits to top it all off. They are not to be discounted. If better strap-on sex is the goal, the side benefits of feeling better, sleeping better, having more daily energy, Well, where is there even one downside? For the guy? No way. For the lady? No way for sure. And for everybody these two fortunate souls encounter in the other aspects of their lives? Most assuredly not. More smiles on the faces of Ms. Strap-On and Mr. Lovin' It make everyone's day a little better. I love that comment. And when I read that last part of it, the very first thing I thought was t-shirts. We need t-shirts that say Ms. Strap-On and Mr. Lovin' It for the brave who will wear them. They need to be black with white lettering and a little bit fancy lettering. I think it would look nice. And I think there are places that you could wear something like that. You could wear it to some of the sexuality conferences. You could wear it to DomCon. You could wear it to Pride, maybe. Pride celebrations, maybe. You know, places where sexuality is not seen as something to hide. Yeah, and I should probably make a list of those places and should probably be spending my life more in those places than other places. So, okay, off that tangent. That was an awesome comment, and I did have fun writing that article. It's gotten a lot of attention. I've posted it everywhere. But just in case I have some solely podcast listeners and you guys don't really encounter me anywhere else except listening to this podcast, there you go. Alrighty. Now we're going to move on. This is also a reply to something that was written before. There was a woman who wrote in and left a comment, and it was a pretty lengthy comment, and her significant other had asked her to peg him, and she wasn't wild at all about the idea. She didn't like the idea at all. She tried it and really didn't like it and thought she could be done with it. And it was a long letter, and there was a lot of potential misconceptions. It's hard to know when people write things down exactly how they're thinking. All you can do is do the best you can with the letters you have, the words you have in the letter. I did take that comment apart and respond to it as best I could and posted it up on my Pegging Paradise blog. It was actually a comment that was left on my Pegging 101 blog, and that's the one that has just strictly the informational articles. And I wasn't sure if she'd ever write back. I encouraged her to write back and let us know how it went, but I was pretty, I'm not sure if the word is aggressive. I told her how I felt about some of the things that she said, and I, imagining myself to be her with the same attitudes, I thought it might be a little bit difficult to take some of the things that I said. She did write back, and I'm going to have a link to that original article in my Linkorama. So here we go. Ruby, thank you for addressing my comment. I read and reread your response several times in order to try and clear my thoughts and be as unbiased as possible when having a serious talk with my boyfriend. I explained to him I was still very uncomfortable with doing anything anal, and probably always will be. He told me I would get used to it, and wouldn't find it gross or weird if I practiced enough. I told him I was willing to do it once a month as long as it was scheduled so he could prepare himself. He told me sex should never be scheduled, and once a month was not nearly enough. I told him I was trying my best, and I thought once a month was better than never. He said if I was only willing to perform pegging once a month, that he would only be willing to have vaginal with me once a month. I must say that last part especially hurt. Comparing my want for regular sex where we both orgasm and a sex act in which I feel nothing at all is just crazy, plain and simple, and very selfish on his part. I told him as much, and we have since broken up. I still can't believe someone I love so much would try to bully me into a sex act like that. I guess I never really knew him. I've been dating a new man for about a month now, and recently worked up the courage to discuss the topic with him. I told him straight up that this is something I will never be into, and if he has any curiosities about the topic, that I would not judge him for it. However, I would not take the relationship to the next level, but we could remain friends. I know you're probably thinking I was wrong to interrogate him like that, but I refuse to emotionally invest myself in someone for years just to find out we're incompatible again. He assured me with a very firm no way, no how, that he would never be interested in anal play or anything else that made me uncomfortable. So yes, the decision to break up was a hard one, but it was one I had to make. I'm much happier now, and I'm sure he is too. So this is my response that I sent to her. I am so sorry to hear of your breakup. Sexual compatibility is a very important part of a relationship, and it sounds like you two were simply incompatible in that one area, an area in which there were such strong feelings from both of you. I commend you on your openness to my comments and your willingness to at least try. I'm so sorry things didn't work out. Pegging is certainly not for everyone, and it clearly isn't for you. I admire you that you know what you want and what you don't, and you're sticking to it. Best of luck to you in your new relationship. Now, part of the reason I wanted to read this was enthusiasm about all this is a lovely thing. Clearly, it's such a passion for me that I'm way enthusiastic about it, and it's fun to kind of ride the wave with like-minded people who are also very enthusiastic about it. And every once in a while, what I see happening, though, especially in like forums like Reddit Sex, is when someone basically stands up and says, no, you know, I don't like that, and I don't think I'm ever going to like it. They get pushed a little harder than I'd like to see. We all have our likes and our dislikes. We all have our hard limits when it comes to things sexually that we want to do and don't want to do. And I would like to see those respected. Just respected. It's not an okay thing to just say, oh, you know, you just need to try it more and you'll like it. That's a delicate dance to do sometimes, because you never really know how much the person is allowing misconceptions and believing in things that aren't true, which is the same thing as misconceptions, to interfere with the potential enjoyment. And if they were informed about the misconceptions, if those misconceptions were dispelled, would they then be able to enjoy the act? Would that clear the way for their enjoyment of it? Well, that's exactly what I tried to do in my first response to her, was to give her information, to educate her about the act, to also clear up any misconceptions surrounding orientation. She definitely had a thing about he wanted to suck the dildo, and so she thought he was totally gay. And that's always such a strange thing for me to hear, because first of all, if he's there having sex with you, he's definitely not gay. If anything, he's bisexual. But also, just because a man is there sucking on a dildo in front of you in the heat of the moment, when you two are going to be doing something he's dreamed of doing for a long time, does not a man make who is interested in other men. Anyway, it was a long letter because she had so many of these areas where she had made what I saw to be assumptions, but clearly, and it doesn't make any difference whether what stopped her was misconception she couldn't let go of, or whether this just was something not for her. And that's not for me to decide. The most important part is that's a line she can't cross, and that's fine. And she's decided she can't cross it, and I truly do believe that they are going to be much happier apart. And I don't know, I guess if there's any lesson in all this, it's not to wait a few years and invest this time and creating a relationship and then bring out your kinks. If you know you have these kinks, you have a responsibility to bring them out early, to let your partner decide if this is something that they're into, as opposed to getting them all invested and attached and then springing it on them later. And the unfortunate things happen if they're not into it. So yes, you know, things don't always end up hunky-dory in pegging land, and I just wanted to throw that one in there and take a deep breath and, yeah, respect people's no's and don't push too hard for, oh, clearly you just haven't, you know, looked at this the right way, or you'd totally be into it, because, I mean, how could you possibly not be? It's a very common attitude to have when you're really passionate about something. And it can be really, really annoying to people who are not passionate about it and don't share your passion. I've had that happen to me in many other areas, so I'm trying to kind of look at it that way with the whole pegging thing, where I am decidedly on the side of being passionate about it. Okay, now let's read a comment responding to my last podcast where I had mentioned it, that I'd missed Bisexual Awareness Week. Hi, Ruby. Love the blog and appreciate all the advice and information. Your podcast hit close when you mentioned your ex-boyfriend who fell within some spectrum of bicurious. I can identify with him in that I am romantically and sexually attracted to women, but experience sexual attraction and fantasies of men as well. I have no interest in dating a man, but see sexual activity with another man as another means of experiencing new and different sensations. Terms I've seen to describe men include full-on bisexual, bicurious, and heteroflexible. As I'm sure you'd agree, the concept of three strict categories for sexual orientation is inaccurate. I think a more appropriate title may simply be mostly straight. I do think that there is a change slowly taking place to recognize the spectrum of romantic and sexual orientation. But like all things, it takes time. Thank you again for leading the discussion from a mostly straight guy. This is lovely. And I would have to totally agree. And I don't know, when I try and think about labels are so inadequate. They're helpful to a certain extent, but they're so inadequate in so many other ways, especially when it comes to talking about sexual orientation. It almost feels to me like sexual orientation is a three-dimensional spectrum, best as I've been able to figure out, and who knows where you are in that three-dimensionality. I kind of like mostly what I hear kids say, young people say these days, which they really, they don't like labels at all. What they do is they say, who cares what labels you want to put on me? I don't want them. What matters is, am I as a person attracted to you as a person? And it ends there. That's the question. And why do we all need labels? Yeah, and I totally agree with that. So yes, the conversation continues about bisexuality. In fact, that segues into our next letter. I've had a fairly recent experience with my lover that I think brings a new perspective to the whole pegging equals gay dichotomy. Well, first of all, I've been with my lover for about 1.5 years. He saw my ad on Craigslist and hired me to tutor him in physics. Despite our age difference, he's 23, I'm 48, we had a powerful connection between the two of us. As an older woman, I was surprised he took an interest in me, and even though he was slightly shorter than I like my men, he had the looks and body of an Abercrombie model that would make a woman of any age swoon. After 3 weeks of tutoring sessions, he asked me out on a date, and we've been romantic partners ever since. Also, pegging has played a very prominent role in our sex life. At first, he declined my requests to peg on account of feeling gay, quote unquote. But after he gave me a night to get him well acquainted with his prostate, he put those fears to rest. However, 2 months ago, he told me that he had been having fantasies about being with another man. He said that he loved the feeling of being penetrated and the feeling of being fucked, and was curious what those sensations would be like if they came from another man. I encouraged him to further explore those feelings with me, and 2 weeks ago, after finding the right guy, my boy toy had his first experience with another man. He absolutely loved the experience, and I found it to be a beautiful display of primal passion. What I'm trying to get at is that no, pegging will not automatically make you gay. However, partners should be open to the fact that as boundaries are broken, pegging may encourage or spark desires of being with another man. So this is a fascinating subject for me, and it's also one that I have experienced a gradual evolution regarding, because in the beginning, I was adamant, I was militant about saying, oh God, no, it won't turn him gay, goodness sakes. This is ridiculous. I mean, he's either gay or he's not. And once again, falling prey to the binary assumption of sexuality, right? And then as time went by, I got a few letters here and there saying, you know, I never really had any interest in men until I tried pegging. And once I tried it, then I kind of got interested in what it might feel like, exactly what this woman is describing. So since then, and especially since really embracing that it is not a binary concept here, or even three specific ways of describing orientation, it's fluid. It's much more fluid than anyone would like to think, because we're so attached to putting labels on things and putting ourselves in little boxes that define us. Is it possible for a completely straight man who has never had an erotic thought about another man in his entire life to get pegged and then develop an interest in men? Sure it is. Absolutely. I don't think it happens very often, but it's possible. And I took what she said absolutely to heart about when you start. It's funny, I got hitched up on the word broken. She says this: however, partners should be open to the fact that as boundaries are broken, boundaries are let down, I suppose is what I would rather hear. I mean, it's a small thing to take issue with, but it's almost like there's a non-consensuality involved with the word broken. Certainly it's willingly on his part, but as those boundaries are let down and as they no longer have an effect on how your sexuality is being expressed, then I think other things can happen. And perhaps had those boundaries been let go of a long time ago, then it would have been at that time that the bicuriousness would have surfaced, that it was there all along. It's hard to say. But it does sound like, with this young man, that the simple sensation and act of being penetrated and fucked and the sensation of it is what really got him thinking about what it would be like with another man. And that's totally hot as far as I'm concerned. I love man-on-man stuff. Totally love it. And as I've said before, welcome to all you bisexual men out there. I've certainly written my fair share of stories involving that recently, haven't I? So thank you for writing in and telling that story. That's a great addition to the whole bisexual question. Or bisexual conversation, actually, is how I'd rather put it. Okay, here is a couple of equipment questions. Ruby, girlfriend and I are excited about her pegging me. I have purchased a Realdo Fieldo Vibrator Slim, but also want to get a quality, let's say around $100, harness that I can use with the Fieldo and other toys in the future, and I'm totally lost about what to get. Can you help? Thank you. Sure I can. There are three different ones that I could recommend. My go-to would be the Spare Parts Jacques Harness, J-O-Q-U-E. And that is a washable material harness with great elastic bands. It's adjustable. There's two different sizes. I'm not sure what size your girlfriend is, but it has a couple of different sizes. And you can get that through my website. It's $125, but with the coupon code RUBY, it would make it exactly 100, which is what you asked for. It's a very comfortable and very adjustable harness, so you can really play with it and cinch it down and get it to fit just right. It's very quality made harness. And then one that is one step down from that is the Valkyrie two strap harness that is made by Liberator. And when I put the two together, I would have to say it's not made quite as well, but it's made pretty well, and it's a good product. It is very similar to the Spare Parts, but it's not made quite to the specifications of the Spare Parts. I tried it. I liked it. It worked. That one sells for $95, and with the 20% discount, it would be $76 to you. And then if you, there's so many questions when you talk about buying a harness. I mean, I'm not sure if your girlfriend likes girly stuff, or whether she might like stuff that's not girly at all. I mean, there are women out there that really prefer something not at all feminine, and that would be my last recommendation, would be the rodeo harness. It actually looks exactly like a pair of boxer underwear, boxer briefs. And it's got a ring sewn into it and works like a charm. So that one, those boxers sell for $60. So that's your cheapest option. And then with a 20% discount, it'd be $42. So those would be my three recommendation for harnesses. Anything else that is my favorite is going to cost you a lot more. Aslan leather, those ones start around $140, $160. And some of the spare parts ones, if your girlfriend does like the really girly stuff, we have a couple of those that we sell as well. The Sasha is one, and I can't remember, but there's another one. And those also started about $140, $150. So they're above your $100 limit, but those three should serve you very well. They've all got good reviews. So there you go. And here's the next equipment question. Amazingly, the woman I am dating wants us to get into pegging. I love it when the letter starts off that way. Would you recommend the most secure harness and dildo combination that would allow hands-free pegging? And then he lists just this, a whole list of different brands and things. First of all, to answer the harness question, those three harnesses would be great. If you're wanting something that is the most secure, like you want something that you can cinch right down and make it feel like a total part of your body, then the Aslan leather harnesses, like the Jaguar, is the one that I would recommend, because leather is uncompromising. And what I mean by that is it's not going to stretch. When you have the material harnesses, they stretch a little bit. You've got maybe a quarter to and half an inch of flex. Even if you cinch them down pretty hard, you're still going to get about a quarter inch. And so it's really made kind of more for sensuous pegging and maybe not so much for really hammering at it. And there is a delightful enjoyment, for me anyway, when I have a leather harness on and I can cinch it down and it's really like a part of me. But interestingly enough, that article that I read you that I wrote about that amazing pegging experience, I was wearing the spare parts with that one. So, you know, I wasn't feeling any lack of sturdiness or steadiness or, you know, it certainly was feeling like a part of my body to me. And when you do get a leather harness, you do sacrifice a little bit in comfort. The elastic makes it more comfortable. The leather gets cinched down and occasionally it'll pinch here and there and you have to adjust it. It's not anything that can't be remedied, but that's kind of the two different ways to think about those, because what you were asking for specifically is hands-free pegging. I mean, all of those will work for hands-free. Now, as far as the dildos, for dildos, wow, again, there's so many different choices. The ones that I have to offer are, first of all, you know, I'm going to just jump right in here and do a little mini product review, because I told you guys I was going to do this and I haven't talked about it yet. This is a dildo that I was going to review, and I have since then, and it's made by Blush Novelties, and it's from the Nude line, and it's called the Ergo Mini Suction Cup Dual Density Dildo, which is quite a mouthful. Now, the reason that I wanted to review this and check it out was because it's a new kid on the block regarding dual density. And let me pause for just a moment here and talk about, the ethics, the integrity of recommending something from a company that sells other things that are not so good. I've been pretty hardline about this for a long time, like Doc Johnson, Pipe Dreams, places like that. They certainly do sell toys that are platinum-cured silicone. Absolutely, they do. And they also sell a bunch of other crap. Plush Novelties doesn't sell as bad a crap. And I guess what I mean by that is they don't sell jelly things, the toxic phthalate things, okay? When I took a close look at their website, what I found was some of the inferior materials like TPR, thermoplastic resin, elastomers, PVC, things that were more problems with porosity and things that could harbor bacteria eventually, as opposed to things that were out now toxic. So it's like a judgment call, okay? Pipe Dreams and Doc Johnson still sell horrible jelly crap that's toxic and has phthalates, and the people who are sensitive to that take those toys, put them in, and experience the burning and things. And these are chemicals that have been banned in children's toys. And once again, because I can't do it enough, I'm going to put the link to the toxic toy article at the on my blog in the Linkorama. And so the reason I was interested in this new dual density line is because it is platinum cured silicone. And I was fully prepared to do a flame test on it. And I did a flame test on it. I took that sucker out of the box. And I have one of those fireplace lighters, you know, with the little butane thing and the long metal thing to it. It's not just a match or anything. And I fired away on that thing for quite some time. And what will happen with a safe material dildo is that you might get some blackness coating the dildo itself, but it's not burning. It's probably coming just from either the propane or something, and it wipes off and it's totally fine, and it has not melted anything, it hasn't burned anything, everything's fine. And so that's exactly what happened. And I did get a chance to use this dildo. It is the dual density, which means that it has the solid inner core and the softer outer core. This was with a young man who had done a fair amount of self-play, but had not done any pegging at all. And it was the perfect size because this dildo measures, it says on the packaging that the insertable length is 5 inches, but it's really not. I took a tape measure to it tonight, and it's 5 3/4. It's a good length. I like the length a lot, because I've always recommended 6 inches minimum for the new, for a newbie, basically, and for beginners in pegging. And the exception was when I did a review of a shorter one, and I was pegging a young man who was very, very slender and kind of had no butt, and it worked perfectly. It was just the right length. So this one is 5 3/4, and the diameter is 1.3. So it's just a little bit bigger than 1 1/4. It's a good size. It's perfect. And the head of it, the dual density part of it, that solid inner core stops about, I don't know, 1 1/2 from the end. So it makes it an interesting sort of softer end and then harder down the shaft of it. And when you put it on a strap-on, because of that solid inner core, it keeps it straight out. It doesn't flop or anything like that. And it has a very nice feel to it. I mean, the whole point of these dual densities is to make them as lifelike as possible and have it be a really pleasant experience for the guy, and it certainly was for him. Now, he didn't have anything to compare it to, but I asked him a bunch of questions about how it felt. I paid a lot of attention to things like how often we had to add the lube, and the lube we used was Sliquid. I talked about it in the last podcast and totally have fallen in love with this stuff. The Sliquid Silk. So it's a combination of a little bit of silicone and mostly water-based. And it's emollient and creamy and wonderful. And yeah, I totally love it. So it worked like a charm. So I would actually recommend this dildo, even though it comes from a company that is not my favorite. It's kind of a judgment call, you know. You want to support the companies that only sell the best stuff. But I think the reason this one caught my eye is because there's so few good dual densities out there. Basically, we got two companies that are making good ones. The Tandis O2 line and the Vixen Creations Vixkin line. They have had the market on body-safe, sterilizable, non-toxic dual density dildos for some time. And all of a sudden, this new kid on the block, of course, I'm interested. And they've done a good job with it. And Also, the bottom of this dildo is a suction cup, so you can just slap these guys anywhere, whether it's, you know, your headboard or the floor or the shower or the tub, and it'll stick really well, and you can have fun using it that way. So, yeah, this is definitely something I recommend. And with all of that little toy review thrown in there, the price for that is $65, and with the 20% off, it's $52. We also offer something from Tantus, which is, it's called the Echo, and it's a larger size. This is not something I would recommend for beginners, but it depends on whether, you know, you don't really say whether you have experience or not. There's a whole bunch of information your letter is lacking. If you're looking for something bigger, the Echo is 6.5 inches long, and it's 1.55 inches in diameter. The interesting thing about the Echo is the ridges. There is a division amongst people whether or not they like a pronounced head on dildos or not. Some people like it, some people don't. I know that when I've been receiving anal sex, there's something that feels really exquisite about when the head clears the sphincter. It's this feeling of sort of, it's pleasure and relief at the same time, and I really enjoy it. And sometimes when the guy takes it out and then puts it in every once in a while, it's just an amazing feeling. So the intention behind the Echo is to multiply that, because it does have a pronounced head, and then it has ridges that mimic that head all the way down it. So it's a pretty cool toy. It runs $69, and with the 20% discount, $55. Now, if you're talking about double enders, well, there's one that I recommend above all the others with good reason. It's because it's taken all the parts of the others that were good and put them all together into the best one. This one is called the Happy Valley Silicone. Well, they don't actually call themselves Happy Valley Silicone anymore. They call them Fuse Tangos. F-U-Z-E is what the name of that line. And the Tango is the name of the double-ended dildo. So this has an option for a clitoral vibe. It has a hole for it to put a bullet vibe in. The important part about getting this Tango, the important combination that you need to have with it, is the bullet vibe that needs to go inside the spot that it's made for to accommodate it. You need to get a Wee Vibe Tango bullet vibe, because it's like the king of all bullet vibes. It's a rumbly one, and it's got a whole bunch of different patterns, and it's like the best. It's not like the best, it is the best. So if you put the Tango with the Tango, easy to remember, right? One is the Fuse Tango, that's the dildo. One is the Wee Vibe Tango, that's the bullet vibe. Then you are rocking. You are just, that's the best. But once again, you say she wants you to get into pegging. See, I could read this anyway. She could is the one who could have the experience. She could be brand new. You could be brand new. You could have some experience. You could both be brand new. Who knows? So the doubles are something that I do consider to be an advanced toy, but some people like them right off the bat. Usually I recommend a flare-based to start with, unless she has some experience in it, because there is a very steep learning curve with learning how to fuck someone. Evidenced by my earlier article. It took me a while to feel like I really had it down. Okay, so those would be my suggestions. There's going to be links for all those in the Linkorama. It's going to be a crowded Linkorama. You guys can have a party with that. And I give you all of those suggestions and the prices and everything because every time you buy from me, you are supporting my work in talking about pegging to the world. So, yes, let's leave it at that. And, oh, of course, any order that you make ships for free if you have spent over $100. And don't forget the coupon code RUBY and get your 20% off the order. So we're going to leave it there, and you can leave your questions or stories at 805-500-6544. You can follow me on Twitter at Ruby_Writer. I have a Facebook page and a profile. You can subscribe to my blog, which has the sexy pictures and things that never show up in my podcast, like the article I just read you. And also, my podcast is on iTunes, and it can be listened to in a variety of different places with different podcast applications as well. Okay, I guess that's it. Until next time. So thanks for downloading, and thanks for listening. And as always, happy pegging.